It is 5:07 on the Central Coast on this Thursday, November 21st, 2019. You're listening to the Dave Congleton Show. Sam Cotton is going to be here in about an hour. He wants to talk about this movie, Ford versus Ferrari, based on a true story. He'll tell the story, but we won't give away the ending because we want you to go see the movie. Also, again, I remind you that in less than an hour now, our own Andy Morris and Scott Taylor will be at the Idlers here in San Luis, right behind Trader Joe's. They're taking on Adam Montiel and Jeremy from the KZOZ Morning Show and doing this little cook-off thing. The cook-off is at 6 o'clock, so go on by and say hi, but keep it tuned here on your way over. This is Hometown Radio for the Central Coast. It is the Dave Congleton Show. From time to time, we'd like to check in with our friends at the County Farm Bureau to find out what's going on, which means that Brent Burchett is back with us. Mr. Burchett, how are you?
Dave, so good to be back with you, sir. It's been a long time.
The pride of Kentucky.
But nobody's calling. I don't think anybody's missed me since I've been. Maybe my mom and daddy have missed me a little bit, but we're excited to be here in California. It's been a very interesting year for me.
How long have you been on the job? Remind
came
me?
To here in February of this year, right. So it's been a lot of regulations that we don't have in Kentucky. Pretty steep learning curve, but we've got a great support group at Farm Bureau to help me get acclimated.
Has that been the big surprise to you, all the regulations?
The scope of them. I knew, you know, people in Kentucky think California's nuts. It might as well be Mars, but I knew you had pesticide regulations that were a little bit different and kind of some state-specific things with the Endangered Species Act and preserving the environment, but I didn't really appreciate the bureaucracy that's here and the amount of money that we give in form of our taxes to government to have all these programs, some of which are achieving their objectives, many of them are not.
Now, we know that a lot of younger people are leaving the state because they can't afford housing. We know some businesses are leaving the state because of overregulation. What about agriculture? Have you been affected by that yet? Your industry, you find people in ag who are saying, I'm going to go elsewhere.
I think a lot of farmers, if you ask them, they said, I would leave this state and go elsewhere to farm, but they have borrowed against their farm ground. This is their home. This is where their granddad ranched. And it's so difficult in agriculture because, you know, the land is our legacy. That's really what ties our history together with our family. So it's a lot more difficult to pack up a farm and go set up shop elsewhere. But I think we're feeling that pressure just like a lot of industries are. This is not a pro-business state.
Because the only other choice they have would be to make a deal with the cannabis hemp people.
The hemp and cannabis has been a lot of interesting excitement and development, but a lot of challenges, especially for our Farm Bureau, because, Dave, we are a diverse membership. We have members who are growing industrial hemp. We have members that grow marijuana here in San Luis Obispo County. And on the flip side, we have members that wish we had neither of those crops in this county and everything in between.
Yeah, but that's what's happening in some parts of the state. Farmers who
absolutely
they can't leave for reasons you just explained, but cannabis hemp, hey, why not?
And there's not a lot of new crops. You can't see my hands, I'm doing air quotes, but there's not a lot of new crops in agriculture, and especially crops that have a high value per acre. So if I'm a small farmer and I maybe only have access to 5 or 6 acres that my granddad passed down to me, hemp is a crop right now that you could make a living on a small amount of land without the labor and inputs of other crops in this community like strawberries, because hemp doesn't require as much labor throughout the year.
All right. Plenty to talk about. Your phone call still to come, but I want to give you a chance. You have a raffle going on.
Sure. So a lot of you, I know, are supporters of Farm Bureau, but maybe not directly connected to agriculture to join as members. I would encourage you always, obviously, to join as a member. You can find out more at slowfarmbureau.org. It's $125 for associate membership. But let's say you just want to do something fun for the holidays and you're looking at a way to support a community organization, nonprofit like the San Luis Obispo County Farm Bureau. Dave, we're doing something kind of fun and neat that's unique to some other county farm bureaus have done it. We thought we'd give it a try this year. We're calling it our 2020 Sportsman Raffle Calendar. So basically, you get a chance every month in 2020 to win two prizes. One of them may be a firearm or a hunting package or an outdoor camping trip. For $120, you can get one of these raffle calendars. There's two ways to get them. It's illegal to sell raffle tickets online, but you can get these and learn more at slowfarmbureau.org. you can send a check into our office. You'll find the address and information on slowfarmbureau.org.
Well, no, back up. I find this fascinating. So every month I get two chances. How does that work?
Yeah, so for example, in January, you have a chance to win a Marlin 336 W3030 Winchester. You also have a chance to win in January a fully guided pig hunt for one by Bitterwater Outfitters on the central coast of California. Mr. Clayton Grant donated that. But other things like vineyard packages, overnight stays in our community, Santa Margarita Adventures with a zip line package. So,
oh, I see. So each month there are two different prizes.
Right. So essentially, if you're a gambling man and you're buying the scratch-offs every month, that's not nearly as good odds, Dave, as this. A 1 in 10 chance of winning. We're selling 240 of these calendars. I believe we've got 35 left. So if you're thinking about getting one as a Christmas gift, I know all the Burchett family will be getting one for Christmas. I don't know if I can send guns to Kentucky. I ought to check on that first. Where I give them, but this is something kind of fun and unique. I know firearms are not for everyone, and there's a lot of other prizes in this package.
But so two chances a month times 12 months, do the math.
Yeah, 1 in 10 odds, if my Kentucky math is correct.
And you're limiting the amount of calendars that you sell.
That's correct. So just 240 of them. There's a few county farm bureaus in the rest of California that do this and make a lot of money. So what does this money go towards? Well, it's all of our education outreach. This helps equip Farm Bureau to go to more meetings, have more staff time available to advocate for farmers and ranchers here in Slo County and in Sacramento.
Brent Burchett on this broadcast from the County Farm Bureau. We're talking about what's happening in agriculture. Let's start with good news. Economic report is out about the impact of ag on the county.
Sure. So people may already be familiar with our county agriculture commissioner, which puts out a crop report each year, and we had really big, awesome news this year earlier. For the first time in our history, San Luis Obispo County, Dave, has $1 billion in crop and livestock sales each year. That was actually, you know, a lag behind the years. That's 2018 data. It's arguably gone higher this year. But if you think about agriculture, it's not just that money that comes back to the farmer and rancher. Think about all the inputs, those employees that they hire, that they're out spending money in the community. So our county ag commissioner voluntarily does this. He's not required by statute. So we just, you know, there's a lot of bureaucracy in Slo County that frustrates me. But our county ag commissioner, Marty, said to me, and I always mess up his name, Marty, but you're a good guy if he's listening. We have a really good ag commissioner, and they do this report that helps us educate our elected officials, our Economic Vitality Corporation, I know they're a frequent guest, and really make sure that our economic development community understands the value of agriculture. So just a few numbers, if you listen to anything I say today, Dave, write this down. San Luis Obispo County agriculture contributes $2.5 billion to the local economy. That's about $1.7 billion in direct economic output. That's 7% of our county's total economic output. If you take those additional economic output in the form of expenditures by the agribusinesses and those employees that are hired to work on farms, this makes another $750 million. So if you add all that up together, that $2.5 billion economic impact equates to about $7 million per day. So if we didn't have agriculture in this community, there would be $7 million a day that would not be invested here. What does that translate in terms of employment? Agriculture in San Luis Obispo County provides 13,393 jobs. That's actually 10,000 jobs that are directly tied to agriculture, and that equates to about one in every 16 jobs in the county is tied to agriculture. But if you take all those multiplier effects, you get another 2,700 additional jobs in the county due to those expenditures by those companies and employees. And so really, we look at the big picture. What's San Luis Obispo County agriculture? It's $2.5 billion to our local economy and provides 13,300 jobs.
So how do we compare to other counties in the area?
We are really outsized compared to my home state of Kentucky. I give this number all the time. The entire state of Kentucky's ag output is about $4.5 to $5 billion. This single county is $1 billion in crop and livestock sales. Depending on the commodity, we are top five in wine grapes. If you look at other, like strawberry productions, we're a top five. And some of our produce, broccoli, other produce items, we're top 10. If you take the county agriculture as a whole, I'm not sure how we compare it to every other county.
So is wine a big factor when we talk about these numbers for agriculture?
Absolutely. So if you combine that category the way the Ag Commissioner's Report does it, they combine the fruit and nut crops, which is predominantly wine grapes. So that's about 61% of this total figure. Vegetables would be about 23%. Those are our top two. Also, nursery products we shouldn't forget. These are things that have been hurting historically with the loss of some of these flower markets. So we can talk about hemp and cannabis and how that's fitting
in
there.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Sure.
But see, that's the thing. I came here in 87, And if you asked me to describe SLO County back in the late 80s, I'd say, this is cattle country. This is a ranch area. And now, when I hear these numbers, they're quite impressive. But I'm thinking, that's how much, look at all the wine that has come in.
Right.
That's really changed.
You said cattle, which is absolutely true. And we still have an awesome cattle industry. And especially our SLO County Cattlemen's Association is the largest county cattlemen's association in California. A lot of great people we work closely with. But
we're the largest.
We're the largest in terms of memberships. And they have a great group. It's very active and a good community. But the animal industry comprises about 5% of this total. Compare that to nursery at 9%. Fruit and nut crops, which obviously is led by wine at 61%. Vegetable crops, you shouldn't forget, at 23%. But really, I think when the wine grapes came in, it displaced a lot of that grain production, so that dry land. But
People switched over.
Land was sold. It was irrigated. It's changed the dynamics here in the county. But in agriculture, we know we always have to be adapting and changing, looking for new opportunities. And this has certainly been a difficult year for a lot of our wine producers. It was kind of a late season that got started and got really compressed towards the end. And I've heard different reports, but I know there's been a lot of grapes on the market, so folks are struggling. And so when you hear these numbers about, $1 billion in crop and livestock sales, that doesn't mean all the farmers are getting rich. That's just a gross sales. It doesn't talk about the costs that have gone up for everything, your inputs, your labor costs, et cetera.
So much I want to ask my guests. We're pleased to be in conversation again with Brent Burchett from the County Farm Bureau. Welcome back. Your phone call still to come. We're live. We're local. We're Hometown Radio. Bottom of the hour, it's California Headline News. I'm Dave Congleton. We are in conversation with Brent Burchett. He is with the County Farm Bureau. Relatively new on the job, but I've heard nothing but good things about the guy. And we're talking agriculture. Agriculture is very important on the Central Coast. If you want in on the conversation, feel free to join us. 805-543-8830, 800-549-5832. What about the tariff war with China? Are we being affected by that on the Central Coast?
A little bit, but not as much as our farmers in the Midwest growing soybeans and corn have been some of the big ones. Some of the poultry industry here in San Luis Obispo County, our bigger markets are Canada and Mexico. So that's not as directly tied to China. I've heard some wineries report that their sales may be impacted going to China, but that's not our big market here in SLO County. The bigger deal is not the Chinese tariffs. It is actually U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement, which folks may remember in the 90s, the NAFTA, North American Free Trade Agreement. USMCA, the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement, is going to replace NAFTA. And it has had a lot of progress. We've had a lot of development. But right now the status is the Democrat-led House wants to see more, I guess, guarantees that Mexico is going to enforce some of the labor and other provisions that are included before they pass it. But there's a little thing called impeachment hearings going on in D.C., Dave. I guess that's got everybody distracted. But I think eventually this will be a bipartisan bill that passes. And if you ask a SLO County farmer, they're more worried about USMCA than they are the Chinese tariffs. We do have some walnut production. I know that it's impacted by that. But at least in SLO County, the big deal is USMCA.
Craig, I'm told we had a caller with a question.
Yeah, I wondered about the impact locally when the mechanical strawberry pickers come into use.
Both good and bad. So bad if you're a laborer, good if you're a farmer, except for those are very expensive pieces of equipment. However, I've got one of my board members raises strawberries, and he said they look for every kind of mechanization they can because we cannot count on this volatile immigration issue to deliver the workers we need. So if you're looking at things you can control and things you can't, this is one that you can control and you can show on your balance sheet that it's worthwhile to make that investment. Is that going to come in overnight and displace all of our strawberry picking with workers? Absolutely not. But in 10 years, I think it may.
But if you go with mechanization, does that drive up the price of the product? Does that raise the cost of picking?
Marginally, it could. I would think more, though, it's just a cost that you can account for on your balance sheet. And if I'm a farmer, those strawberries are worth $0 if they rot in the field, whereas if I've got a piece of equipment, I can guarantee that I'll be able to harvest when I need to. I won't have to be dependent on, did I get the crew I needed or did they go somewhere else to work?
All right, 805-543-8830. 800-549-5832. Let's go to Michael in Paso on KVEC. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
Good, Michael. Thank you.
Good. I'm glad you have this guest on, and he sounds objective and straightforward, and he's dead right. You know, automating the harvest, which I've been calling out for 40 years, is going to do several things. Number one, it's going to raise the wages of people who are involved technologically in agribusiness, because agribusiness is going to change dramatically in the next 20 years. And what's going to happen is we're going to be more productive. The people working in the ag sector are going to make more money. We're going to have less people, but we're going to be much more productive. And I think that we have seen just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to the automated technologies that are coming. The agribusiness field itself is going to be, I believe, one of the most exciting, technologically advanced industries that we have. And I think we're just seeing the beginning of it. And a lot of it is going to be driven by the fact that we can't continue to recruit working poor to rural areas and expect that to work out well.
I agree,
and
Michael.
Hang on a second. Brett, comment.
Just going to say, I agree with your points, Michael, and I think, you know, workers are not just a subject to availability and just trying to get the workers, but housing the workers here. We've had some positive developments at the county level on developing a new ag worker housing ordinance that will help kind of remove some barriers to building group quarters. Think of dormitory style housing, but you're absolutely right. This is going to be kind of like when there's mechanization in an auto manufacturing plant. That's good for some workers, and that we have to have people to program these machines and operate them. On the flip side, there's that manual labor force that may lose their jobs.
Michael?
Well, I think that what we're going to see, and especially if this trade deal with Mexico and Canada is done and Nancy Pelosi can get her act together, is that what's going to happen is I think the economy in Mexico is going to get much better. We're going to see an outflow of people back to Mexico. This is just a hunch I have. I can't use anything other than my hunch. I think the Mexican economy is going to get better. Wages are going to rise there. And we're going to be better off altogether. And that's what I'm hoping. And like I said, all throughout these last 35 years, I have nothing against agribusiness. I love agribusiness. The problem is they have not moved forward aggressively because they've had an oversupply of cheap labor that's been artificially recruited to our areas for too long. And it's created a lot of problems.
All right. Michael, thanks for the call. Any comment?
He makes some good points. I think farmers, if they could pay more for their workers, they absolutely would. But, you know, if we're talking about a $15, $20 an hour job and I can get the same wage working at a lot easier of a job in terms of manual labor, you know, working in a field's hard. There's a reason I'm not a full-time farmer, Dave, because my fat butt wants to sit at the couch on a hot summer day, and it's a difficult work, and it's kind of unfortunate society with those jobs that used to be filled by our local youth. You know, they're no longer working in those positions, and I think you're 100% right that as these trade deals happen, we will see the efficiencies come out. So when NAFTA came out, I asked my dad, I said, is this good or bad? He said, well, it's good for agriculture, and that makes us be more competitive. It opens up markets for us that we would not otherwise have. On the flip side, now those Mexican farmers have access to our markets. Now we see some of our industrial manufacturing. I know in Kentucky, one of this big Mattel plant closed after NAFTA, and those jobs all went to Mexico. And so there's never a perfect trade deal, but my philosophy, and I think most farmers and agriculture people would recognize that more trade is generally better.
All right, off we go. We've got California headline news. Craig has the very latest in time saver traffic and weather together. We got some text messages coming in. We'll take more of your phone calls as we talk agriculture with Brent Burchett from the Farm Bureau. We're live, we're local, we're Hometown Radio.
Getting closer, going faster than a roller coaster. Love like yours will surely come my way.
This is the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. Always good to be with you. Stick around. Sam Cotton's going to be here at 6:05. We're going to talk about this movie, Ford versus Ferrari. Also, head on over to Idler's at 6 o'clock. Andy Morris, Scott Taylor are in this cook-off. There is the Idler's right behind Trader Joe's on Cross Street. And maybe you can sample some of the food. A good time will be had by all. But we want Andy and Scott to win this contest. It's as simple as that. I'll give you the details on First Look tomorrow morning. We are back in conversation about local agriculture. We've got Brent Burchett on this broadcast. He has headed up the Farm Bureau for about a year now. If you haven't been able to tell, he comes from Kentucky.
When I go order food at a restaurant, everybody says, now say that again. I said, what were we ordering, tacos or something? And I said, well, hand me the far one. And they said, well, there's not a far one. There's a spicy. I said, no, the far one, the one the furthest away, the far one.
We welcome your phone calls, 805-543-8830, 800-549-5832. Off the Stolberg Law KVC text line, someone is asking about the Farm Bureau and what it takes to be a member and what are the dues.
Absolutely. So if you're involved in agriculture, ag membership to the Slo County Farm Bureau is $275. That also makes you a member of the California Farm Bureau, so they take half of that money. It goes to our statewide efforts. But if you're not involved in agriculture, but you know maybe your family was and you really value agriculture, you can join as an associate member for $125. But if you're a business, I would encourage you to look at our business member benefits. You get a lot of advertising to our 800 members across the county. That's $400 a year for a Farm Bureau business membership. If you really want to get in front of our leadership and make sure that your brand or your cause is represented, we also have a platinum membership for $1,500. And for that, I'll come sing at your birthday party for $1,500.
Also off the Stolberg Law KVC text line, let me condense this down. The big dogs are finally starting to break family vineyards. A farmer friend of mine has 100 tons rotting on the vine right now, as there was not a single buyer for this Cabernet. First time in 30 years this has happened. North County sold out to the Napa Corporation farmers. He may tear it all out and grow pot instead.
This is a story as old as agriculture. The most efficient produce more, that drives the price down, and that pushes the smaller farmer out. And that's not unique to wine grapes. I think this year was especially challenging because we had, I think, a pretty decent harvest in terms of yields. But when the market's not right, we have these trade issues going on. Sometimes that can all tie up to make a really bad year. And I want people to realize that maybe they like environmental regulations, and we all should like environmental regulations. They sound good, but when it comes to specific ones that may require a lot more paperwork or hiring a lawyer or hiring a food safety expert or a tax consultant or a labor expert, the more regulations you have, the big corporations can afford that. They can hire experts. They can have dedicated staff for that. You know, my family farm is just my mom and dad and maybe a couple hired hands down the road that come help drive trucks during harvest.
How they react when you call back and tell stories about what it's like out here?
They came firsthand in August, and they enjoyed it. We got my girlfriend, Kaya Twistleman, lives out in Creosote Plains, so we spent some time out there. They loved kind of seeing the ranch lifestyle firsthand. And in San Luis Obispo, I said, no, y'all know this was August, and of course in Kentucky it was 100 degrees, and I said, y'all need to maybe bring you a sweatshirt or a jacket. My dad laughed. He said, we not need that. We're sweating here in our air conditioning. And they came to St. Louis, and they're freezing cold. But I think my dad was very impressed with the amount of labor and paperwork that these farmers have to deal with. We think we have problems in Kentucky in terms of regulations, but here it's a whole new ballgame.
Jackson, San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Jack.
Dave, great guest. What's the status of the Pasil Water Basin? I know that a number of your members, or I would assume that a number of your members are affected by the ongoing developments. What are the developments? What's the plan? Where is it going?
Sure. So I believe, was today Thursday? Yeah, Wednesday. Last night there was a Pasil Basin Cooperative Committee meeting. The plan is out there, so if you just Google Pasil Basin GSP, you can get the groundwater sustainability plan. It's a lengthy document with a lot of chapters. Certain chapters detail the research that needs to be done or their understanding of the current situation, the monitoring projects. But the key one is how we're going to get more water, or what are we going to do in terms of cutting back some of our pumpers. And this is a difficult issue, and it's very contentious. It pits neighbor against neighbor. For Farm Bureau, our role is to make sure all the information is out there, that our members can know when the deadlines are to speak. And I guarantee you, of our 800 members, we might have 100 different opinions on what should be done in the Paso Basin, but we've been fortunate to have a lot of leadership from some of our board members on that to make sure that all of agriculture is represented, whether that's a big winery or a small winery or vineyard, I should say. But long story short, the plan has to be submitted to the state in January. That plan is basically ready, but the real teeth of it will have to be developed long term. So this is, I think of it in terms of an outline. It says what we think we need to do. It doesn't say County of San Luis Obispo, you're going to pay 50% of this project, and the pumpers in this part of the basin are going to spend 50% of the cost. Those details are when we'll start having more fights, and it seems like it's been contentious already, but we've only yet begun. I hope that we can look at the big picture, though, and think about what would agriculture in Paso Robles look like with this vineyard industry. What has it done to our economy? We talked about that $2.3 billion economic impact earlier. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be difficult. We're a critically overdrafted basin, which there are several basins in San Luis Obispo County. The Paso Basin is the only one that's critically overdrafted and going through the SGMA process right now. The others have a later date, not as controversial, not as tight of a supply. But I've learned a lot. You know, in Kentucky, it rains every 3 days, so we don't have to worry about this stuff. But there's been an incredible amount of science and research and discussion and arguing. And I think eventually we'll get there as a county, but it's not going to be an easy process.
Jack, what else from you?
Does the Farm Bureau have a position, or I shouldn't say a position? Do you have members that are growing marijuana? Is the marijuana industry coming forward and participating? I mean, because it is my standpoint, it's an agricultural crop. Put it in the ground and it grows.
You're right, and we do have members that grow marijuana. We also have members that wish it was not here. I went to a Central Coast Cannabis Council meeting. There's some really good Farm Bureau members that are involved with the organization as well, and was working with Megan Souza at her CBD store in Atascadero. They had a hemp educational event this past Saturday. And you go to these meetings, and they talk about permitting and the environmental regulations and dealing with the county, all the headaches, and they talk about, well, we're not going to make any money after going through all this. And I say, y'all sound like a bunch of farmers. You know, the more you get into agriculture production, you realize that, you know, this is something you got to love. You're not necessarily going to get rich in agriculture. But the answer to your question, we welcome everybody in agriculture, including marijuana growers. Does that mean we're going to be up there advocating for a certain project in front of the planning commissioner supervisors? No, that's not really our role. Our role is to get you the information you need to make sure you're represented, develop policy. And I think in the past, there's been kind of a agnostic or a hands-off policy that says if marijuana doesn't impact other agriculture, we're okay with it. But we have seen some of these conflicts in terms of pesticide drift, just the nature of the production that's gone in areas where
the smell
has been the big one. And we'll talk more about the hemp ordinance that came out yesterday here in a minute.
All right, Jack. Good enough.
Great work and important work that you're doing. Great job.
Thank you, Jack.
All right, Jack, thanks for the call. 805-543-8830, 800-549-5832. We're talking agriculture in the county. Brent Burchette on this broadcast from the County Farm Bureau, and talked about advocacy. You're not involved in local elections, are you? These supervisor races, congressional races?
We are very much involved in terms of making sure our members know the candidates' positions on these issues. As a Farm Bureau, we do not endorse candidates, but we will be holding a candidate forum in January for some of these supervisors' races, maybe the state senate, maybe our congressional race, if we can get these candidates all to come together. But no, we do not endorse candidates. California Farm Bureau Federation does give out PAC money to some candidates. I have no idea if they'll even get involved in a supervisors or a state senate race. But the answer to your question is no, we do not endorse candidates.
The website for the Farm Bureau remains?
slowfarmbureau.org.
All right, let's take another call, 805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832. Debbie's in Los Osos on KVEC. Hi, Debbie.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. I am so glad to hear a member of Farm Bureau's come on your show because they're so closely related to the farmers and ranchers here, and it's always easy to get perspectives from people in the community, but it's a whole different animal to be a farmer or rancher and what they go through to give people an understanding.
Amen.
And,
Debbie,
you know, and how tight, you know, it is for people to make a living in this industry. And, you know, it's great to say, well, you can't grow this and we want you to do that or how dare you do that, but they really don't understand the hours that the farmers and ranchers put in. That's why you don't hear them coming out and talking on shows like this.
Yep.
But, you know, they're going from 7 days a week, sun up, sun down, plus later than that. I know it was that way with our family, my dad, and everything else. And so it's really easy for people to come in, whether it's board of supervisors or different people, coming up with sayings or decisions, but they really don't have a reality touch with what goes on to keep these farms viable. And I'm glad to see him on the show, and I hope he continues to come on.
This is his second time.
Amen, Debbie. Thank you so much for saying that.
And you're welcome.
We need to record that and put that out as a public service announcement because you hit the nail on the head.
Podcast is up at 7:15. You can use the clip.
Get the podcast.
Debbie, is there anything you want to ask Brent, though?
No, I'm just really glad to see him out on the shows. It's, you know, Dave, you know, I've called at times when there's been people on and I'm just scratching my head where they're looking and there's no grass or there's no this, so the farmers are, you know, not being good stewards of the land or whatever, and they have no understanding of what's going on. And this is what needs to get out to the public so that they have a better understanding of what's going on. It's not always what you visualize or what you're reading from the Sierra Club or whatever. There's a reality with it. You know, our farmers in this area are getting a lot older, and the younger generation can't make or is having a harder time to make a living, which makes those ranches and farms not viable.
Yeah, absolutely right.
Because of the small amount of income that they can get in. I mean, a lot of our farmers and ranchers basically are at poverty wages.
Yep.
It's not a rich industry.
You're right, Debbie.
It's a passion.
You're right. And if you ask a lot of these farmers, one of their bigger concerns is that who's going to take over my farm? My kids are not interested in farming, or maybe they don't feel like they can make a livelihood, and they've watched the struggle that their parents gone through. And I know that was a big factor in our family farm. Who's going to take over? How's this generational thing going to transition? And
Brent said, hell, I'm off to California.
Yeah, I left my poor dad and my brother out there.
I'll see you later. I'm going to go get a job.
We'll get back there eventually.
Brent, thank you. Or excuse me, I'm sorry, Debbie, thank you. Well, and Brent, thank you.
Thank you.
And we got Eric in Templeton on KVEC. Hi, Eric.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hi.
Hey, through my work, I get to talk to farmers all across the country and even worldwide to some degree. And when I talk about California, people don't really get it. And I don't think people get it here. And I just want to see your opinion on the disconnect that California has with its farmers. I don't see that in any other place I go to or any people I talk to.
Eric, you're right. It is a huge deal. And, of course, I knew because I've been in agriculture in Kentucky what a big, you know, driver of agriculture in the U.S. California is. But here you take it for granted. You absolutely think about other industries, your high tech and all this stuff. And, you know, we can't eat cell phones and stuff. We need food to live. And your food goes, you know, it's picked here in San Luis Obispo County. It goes down to a company like Povey, Pacific Oceano Vegetables Chains, goes on a truck and some ice, and it's out overnight going across the country to feed thousands and thousands of families. That's why your food safety is so big, because you have an outsized role in this agriculture production. And I think that's a big part of why Farm Bureau still exists, despite all these regulatory changes that have negatively impacted farmers over the year. We still have to educate people about this is a special industry that deserves our protection and attention. And I don't think people realize that this is national security. If all this food had to be imported, we would be dependent on those countries. We can't fight a country if we can't eat. So we know, and this is more true in the soybean and corn industry, but literally you have cases of Chinese espionage agents coming to the fields of Iowa where some of these hybrid corn varieties have been developed. They follow the planter. They pick the corn seeds out behind the tractor as it's being planted. They hide them in the lining of their jacket and sew it in and smuggle them back to China, because it's just like, you know, technology and military technology. We need to start thinking of agriculture as a national security issue in California and in this country.
Eric, you work a lot with farmers. What's on their mind? What are you hearing?
Really, I think I deal with a lot of people frustrated, especially in the valley, just because we seem to take away more from our farmers, whether it's water rights or this and that. And I hear people from other states talking about it like, God, I would never want to farm in California because you're not guaranteed anything. You have 100 years of water rights, and then L.A. needs the water, and they give it to L.A. And that's what I hear a lot of, is just the California farmers are kind of losing their rights and their property and we're not really doing anything. That's kind of what I mean by part of the disconnect I'm talking about, is we just don't care, and the food's going to come from somewhere, and if the guy down the street goes out of business, so be it. And it's really kind of sad, because this is the backbone of our nation.
You're right, Eric, and it's easy to blame these, you know, crazy elected officials in Sacramento that really are divorced from reality, but it all comes back to the population and the voters. And so, you know, if we've got uninformed voters, that creates uninformed and disinterested elected officials that know more about the coastal industry than they do about this awesome economic rural driver here in San Luis Obispo County.
All right, Eric, thank you. Craig, you had a question?
And yeah, it was more of a, when you were talking about farming, it doesn't, you know, pay well, and people are trying to find more farmers to take over the farms. And the farms on the Central Coast, you need to be rich to become a poor farmer. if I wanted 10 acres, let's say, and I really do, I would love to do this, have 10 acres and be a farmer. That sounds like a great life for me. But I don't have $3 million to do it.
You're exactly right. And the joke is, in agriculture, you got to marry it or inherit it. So you've got to find a family.
Yeah, even you said, you know, your grandfather left, 3 acres.
Yeah.
You know, that's, you got to have it already.
You're absolutely right. The other thing is, there are crops that you can get started with a small amount of acreage, but here in Slo County, at least, it's so cost prohibitive to get an acre of ground that you're forced to go to other counties out in the valley and that more marginal ground that may not be suited for production. But, you know, a farmer depends on his workers and his family, but also his bankers. So a lot of these farmers, they're driving nice trucks. It's borrowed money.
Yeah, but gentlemen, there's an editor in the Tribune, just went online today, new housing development in town. In the low $1 million.
That's all that. My girlfriend and I laughed at that.
Oh, my God. Okay. Now you can't buy farmland. You can't buy a house.
And I think, you know, some of these farmers, they inherited land. It's very difficult. You're totally right. It's very difficult to go out and get started. We do have some community projects to let people rent a small amount of ground and start experimenting with agriculture. But you really got to go all in to have that economy of scale and get that production out there. But I think there are other parts of the country, like in Kentucky, if a guy was brand new to agriculture and he never, mom and dad didn't farm, didn't know anybody in farming, his spouse didn't farm, he could go get a poultry house contract, and he could start out with, you know, $20,000-$30,000 down and get involved in like that. Our cost of production is a lot lower because the regulations, the water issues aren't there, but also the land in general is, you know, a good piece of farm ground in Kentucky is $8,000-$9,000. Here you're talking $30,000-$40,000.
You can move to Kentucky, Craig.
Yeah.
I'll show you the way. I know a good way to get there.
All right, I'll come back for a final segment with Brent Burchett. First, with pleasure, I remind you that today's edition of Hometown Radio is sponsored in part by your hometown grocery store, Spencer's Fresh Markets in Morro Bay and Santa Maria. Always online at spencersfreshmarkets.com. Here are some reasons to check out Spencer's tonight. On sale, time to order your range-grown diesel turkey, $2.79 a pound. Also for Thanksgiving, cooked shrimp ring, $7.99. Honey glazed spiral sliced ham, $2.59 a pound. Bone-in standing rib roast, $9.99 a pound. You can also head to Spencer's and get lean ground beef patties for $11.99 a package. Jumbo easy peel raw shrimp, only $7.99 a pound. Number one yams or sweet potatoes, 99 cents a pound. Cranberries, you need Ocean Spray cranberries, $1.99 a pack. Wouldn't be Thanksgiving without cranberries. Avocados or sweet white corn, 99 cents each. Also at Spencer's, beef tri-tip, $3.99 a pound. Asparagus, $1.99 a pound. Broccoli crowns, 99 cents a pound. Holy cow, I'm getting hungry. All this and more, so much more, only at Spencer's in Morro Bay and Santa Maria. Spencer's Fresh Markets, always worth the drive. Shop at Spencer's, your hometown grocery store. We're proud to have them as a sponsor. The Dave Congleton Show. Sam Cotton joins us after news at the top of the hour. If you want in on this conversation, we need to hear from you now, please. 805-543-8830, 800-549-5832. We're talking agriculture, very important subject here. Brent Burchett is here with us from the Farm Bureau. We mentioned candidates for office. Carvel Hall is running for re-election, obviously, as congressman. What's this ag water bill?
So he's actually got a ag worker bill. It's called the Farm Workforce Modernization. And this is going to be a big uphill battle to pass, but we're appreciative of the work to try to get some stability in this immigration market. You know, earlier this year, there was talk of closing the Mexican border Which would maybe make some people happy. I know there's a lot of different issues or a lot of feelings on immigration, but for agriculture, we have to have these workers today, and it's essential. So Representative Carbajal's bill has got a lot of co-sponsors, including some Republicans, a lot of support in California. I think the uphill battle that we'll be getting through that Republican-controlled Senate, and obviously the White House is going to have issues with any type of immigration that some people would use the word amnesty. I don't think that's the terminology they use. It basically provides a status pathway for some of these folks that may not be documented. And I think for agriculture, we are just so desperate right now to have some stability in this immigration market. It's just such a challenge. And even if Representative Carbajal's bill doesn't pass, we're grateful that he has introduced it. We're having this conversation. And I think there was some action today on it. So I'm never say never and what kind of deals may come out of D.C., who knows. But we're grateful to have the conversation.
If you don't have the workers, or if there's a shortage of workers, does that not drive up the prices that we're going to pay
Absolutely.
At Spencer's and all the other grocery stores?
It would be immediate. It would be like a natural disaster. It would be like a food safety outbreak in terms of the supply disruption. Now our competitors in other countries would step in to fill that gap over time. But in the short term, you could have major product shortages. You may not have seasonable or out-of-season availability of produce across the country if there's some impact on immigration here in California.
I got a minute to ask you about the latest on hemp.
Sure. So just yesterday, the county, for those that don't know, we have an urgency ordinance currently in place that is being worked on to replace that with a permanent ordinance that would set some sort of setbacks and other limitations on hemp, largely to negate the issues we've talked about with odor. And hemp obviously has similar, if not the same, odors of cannabis. Right now, the draft is out. If you Google the County of San Luis Obispo Industrial Hemp Ordinance, it's on the County Ag Commissioner's website that came out Wednesday. Myself and several other growers and interested citizens have been working on this for, since August. I think we've had several meetings, a lot of contentious issues, a lot of trying to figure out what's an appropriate setback, obviously concerned about setting a precedent for ag crop restrictions based on odor. We have garlic and onions and other crops that could be stinky when you spray some pesticides or fertilizers, even that they may have an odor. So we're trying to be representative of our diverse membership, including people that are worried that these hemp production near their vineyards and their tasting rooms could drive out customers, or there could be some potential for that odor, which is the terpenes, they call it, that compound, could actually impact grapes. I don't think that's going to be proven out, but it's certainly worth talking.
The website is?
slowfarmbureau.org.
And don't forget the sports raffle. That's so on the website?
$120 on the website. 1 in 10 chance to win, Dave. Thanks so much. Enjoyed it.
Hi, Brent. Thank you. Off we go. News, traffic, weather. Get ready. Sam Cotton is in the house.